Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying the ghost stories here on this show, be sure to check out our true crime podcast called True Crime Today. Search it wherever you download podcasts. Myself, Carol Hughes, Stacy Cole, all discuss the latest in many true crime stories, dark, disturbing, and sometimes just plain crazy. Check it out, True Crime Today. Search and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of one of this week's episodes of True Crime Today. Woman awakens from two-year coma, identifies brother as the alleged attacker. A chilling final text killer dad Chris Watts sent to mistress before butchering his family. And a man, 36, accidentally hangs himself while trying to scare his fiance.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
That indeed it does. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
So I have a little story.
You do. Don't mind. And I have a little story too.
Okay.
Should we go lighthearted first?
You go first.
Okay. So today, right before I came into the studio to do the program, we in our living room, because it's kind of like Neverland, we have a karaoke machine. And, you know, we sing karaoke on there sometimes. Friday nights is kind of usually our deal. But we're getting ready to go on vacation. And so today, it's Monday, but it almost kind of feels like a Friday to us because we're just kind of in our last minute packing mode and just wrapping up our week. And doing like, I literally have done today 5 days of work in 24 hours and I'm just kind of at my wit's end. But today, I was out there feeding the animals, kind of getting them set up for our trip. Harp's in the house and, she had done a great job cleaning up the kitchen. And then she kind of occupies her time with what, you know, she likes to do. Walked into the house. She's doing stand-up comedy. Literally in front of the brick fireplace. And she's nailing it. she's walking around. She's back. Like, she's treating it like the improv. Like there's a stage that she's on. And this is her backdrop. And she's got her mic. And she's working the mic really well. Like, you know, like you put mic close sometimes. And for depending on what you're trying to accentuate. And she's doing a whole freaking routine. I'm like, how
that
often?
That is hysterical.
And I'm like, honey, how often do you do this? She's like, more than I tell you.
Well, of course.
Because, you know, during the day, sometimes, I mean, she's old enough to stay home alone at times. And, you know, for short periods, so I run to the grocery store. I run to, you know, someplace close where she's not, you know, alone for much. But, you know, I remember those times when I was her age and, you know, mom would go do that. And then it's like, ooh, the house is free. So for me, I would like, you know, I'd raid the kitchen or something or, you know, look at cupboards that I shouldn't go into. She's sitting there working on her stand-up routine.
You know what I did at that age?
What?
I did cheerleading in front of any mirror or window or anything that had a reflection of me.
I can't picture you doing cheerleading.
Cheerleaded.
You were not.
I cheerleaded my little ass off.
Oh my God. You?
Mm-hmm. And I was a really good jumper. Like I could.
Okay.
Do...
So in high school, were you still in cheerleading ish or were you
I
more.
I was a cheerleader in ninth grade.
Yeah. And then you turned into Daria.
I discovered weed.
And then you turned into the inspiration for Daria.
And then the other cheerleaders were mad at me, I think, because I was smoking weed and shit. And then. Yeah. It really got bad when at halftime, you know, you always have the big cheer and what cheer are we going to do? And we're going to do this cheer. So I go out to do the cheer unbeknownst to me. the other cheerleaders were all pissed, and I'm sure I gave them reason in my brain. I'm like, yeah, I did nothing wrong. But they changed the cheer. So I got out there at halftime in the middle of the basketball game. I start doing one cheer, and yeah, they're all doing a different cheer. I'm like, are you kidding me? They're like, no, wow, we're not.
So they totally like abandoned
you.
They're
like the original Mean Girls.
Yeah.
I mean, so what? I'm smoking a little weed, whatever. But I know there's something in my brain that I probably don't remember that.
Were you doing more than just smoking a little weed at the moment, or here's what I found interesting recently is, I mean, I watch a lot of true crime shows, and I know you do too. But what gets me sometimes is they'll sit there and it's like a heinous crime, and you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, what's the story gonna be? It's like, oh my God, this mother, she took her children and she ran them through the car wash with no top on the car. And it turned out half of the car wash decapitated some of the children. And then she still dried it out and then ran it through McDonald's and then took the car at 150 miles an hour down the wrong lane of the freeway, crashed into a semi, flipped it over, and three minivans went flying through and ripped the bodies of the children off. And they're like, okay, oh my God, like, holy shit. That's fucking a lot. Horrible. Oh my God, what is going on here with this woman? What's happening? And then the conclusion that they come to sometimes, and it's kind of shocking, it's like, she was on weed and liquor. and the thing is, you're sitting there sometimes like watching the show and you have like a cocktail in your hand and there may be like a pen.
There's that awkward, you're holding your beer.
You're holding your beer and you may be holding a joint or your weed pen.
Let me finish it first and then setting it down.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah. One. And you're just like, like, holy shit. Like, and you look for a second, you're like, I got my weed pen here. I'm like, I got a fucking like Captain and Coke. I'm like, what the? Like, is this going to make me like, am I going to like get in the car tonight and take the children down the freeway? Like, what the fuck? And I'm always like, what kind of fucking liquor and weed is this person doing?
There was that one horrific one where the woman on the interstate, it's like New Jersey or something, and she was drunk, and then apparently she had this secret drinking problem that no one knew about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at what point? That's what I don't get. It's like, I am shit-faced. Kids aren't riding with me tonight.
Yeah.
Like, number one, I am shit-faced. I'm not driving.
Yeah.
But these people just act like...
Well, but my point is like, what kind of weed and liquor are you doing that causes you to run down the wrong side of the highway and like actively try and...
The sad thing is, any kind of liquor, if you drink enough of it.
I guess enough, yes. But I mean, to me, I don't know. I'm like, I've been pretty drunk in my life, but I'm just like, what kind of combo is this? Like, I don't know. To me, it's like, there's some other shit going on here. Like, these drugs do not normally do this to anyone. They'll be passed out before they're going that fucking extreme.
But I have seen people that drunk. I have.
Yeah. And functioning?
Well, they're not functioning.
Yeah. But
then they do this crazy shit. And yeah, it's like, we thought you were in for the night.
Yeah.
How did you get your car keys and do that?
There was a doc I was watching the other day on Netflix or something where it was about the mom who was otherwise like looked at as very normal and everything was going fine. And then she got in the minivan after picking the kids up from like the camp or beach or something, and then went in the wrong lane for quite a while. And then it killed her two or three kids, and then her nieces. And then they found a very high blood alcohol content on her and THC. And everyone's like, she doesn't do any of that. Like, what the fuck happened here?
No, she obviously does.
She does? Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was very bizarre because they looked at her life and everything. They're like, there's not any signs of this. Like, there's no.
But usually there is, and people aren't. Because, come on, like, I know several people. I've had conversations with them about their children, siblings, whatever. And I'm like, there's something bad going on. Oh, no, it's not what you think.
Like, well, everybody wants to, like, think it's not like what you think. Yeah.
Shades. Stop it. But, like, because they have these blinders on, so there's signs they just don't see. And I think frequently it's because they didn't, they chose not to see it, or they just couldn't.
It's more that than anything else.
Yeah. So I got a story.
Yeah.
This will transition us into the uplifting topics we normally have. So this I'm going to call the dick of the week.
All right, here we go.
I'm not even going to say big dick of the week.
The dick of the week.
Not big dick of the week either, because then that would just like make him feel better about himself. So remember the guy, Lonnie Jackson, who was the doctor? He was a doctor to the White House with Obama and Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lonnie Jackson. So he went on to be a Texas congressman. And here in this week, I think, he challenged President Biden to, quote, come and get his assault rifles, which is one thing. But that's just hours after the state had released that extensive report on the shooting in Uvalde that killed all those kids. So he took this picture, and it's bizarre because he's got an AR-15. He's pointing one in the air and one at the ground, but really the one at the ground is pointing right at his foot. And he says, I have a message for the Biden administration. If you're thinking about taking our ARs, you can start here in Texas. On behalf of all the law-abiding gun owners in Texas, come and get it. I'm like, well, that was 3 hours after they released the Uvalde video and report.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, how insensitive of an asshole do you have to be? To just, like, the gun they this person used in the shooting is the gun you're like, come and get it. Right out of my dead hands.
There is no level to the insensitivity that people will do anymore. Because people are so... Guns,
but they do say that in the picture, the one that's pointed at his foot appears to be a loaded AR-15.
Loaded, that's great.
Safety on.
Oh, that's lovely. What could possibly go wrong there? But I think we might actually have a story about that going wrong later in the show.
And then on top of that, like
we do, we have a story of that going wrong later in the show.
So the House will vote on restricting assault rifles, making it illegal for anyone to, quote, import, sell, manufacture, or transfer semi-automatic rifles that have military features.
That's already a law.
The bill does not call for taking guns away from anyone who already owns them.
It doesn't do much of anything at all, honestly, because there'll be loopholes for the that already is essentially the law. And there's loopholes around it. And this just reinstates the existing law. So it doesn't mean anything.
So to me, like, so he gets the dick of the week award. That's just a dick move. No. It's like, don't be a dick. You could have posted that a week later. So it wouldn't be, but here's these people reading this horrific report. There's families. And then the same weapon that was used to kill their children. You're like, come and get it, Joe Biden. I'm like, that's just such a dick move.
Now,
like, it's so insensitive. You're in Texas. They're in Texas. Like, it's just.
Look, Joe Biden knows his executive order isn't going to do shit. It's all about just political.
That actually is, it's a House vote. This is something a little bit different.
Well, he was going to say, I'm going to make some sort of
executive order.
None of it does anything. Yeah. And
it's like nobody is coming after his AR-15. He legally owns it. It's his gun.
Exactly. It's not going to. And you know what? I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a great idea. Like, oh, yeah, let's go try and take these. Because it's not going to work. It's just not. But can we start doing something to prevent future people getting them and the obtaining of these things? Look, we can't change the past. Let's stop tripping over the past. Let's stop going, well, let's take, you're not going to. You're just not going to, because there's plenty of people too, like myself, who are like, fuck no. Like, I have my weapons now and I don't trust any of you motherfuckers. I'm staying in my property. I'm not going to use them for any sort of nefarious purposes, but I don't trust all you fuckers out there, so I'm going to keep them here. That it's not going to change. But if you want to do in the future, like maybe some better background checks and figuring out who can and can't get it, maybe close the fucking gun shows and the loopholes and all that shit there, and maybe just be a little more restrictive on how we do this, you're going to get them out of the hands of a lot of young, dumb people who find easy ways of getting them. Because you know what? Young, dumb people, they're not that ambitious. And if you actually make it maybe a couple fucking hoops of fire you need to jump through, at most grown-ups could, you'll still have that issue. But the young, dumb ones who seem to be the culprits of a lot of this shit, they're going to give up. They're going to go fucking play more Halo. They're going to play more Call of Duty. Like, I tried it. And you'll slow it. And you'll stop it. And or not completely stop, but you'll fucking slow it. And that's all we ask. That's not a fucking insane thing to do. Can we at least try that? Can we try that first? And if that doesn't work, then yes, well, then let's go further.
Tone down this sort of rhetoric. It's like, because yes, what you're implying is there's some legislation that Joe Biden is responsible for.
And it's not.
And if it's legislation going through the House, Joe Biden didn't put it there.
No, I mean, look,
maybe
Joe Biden is a fucking
legislators who he worked with on it. I don't know the story behind it. But you're just inflaming a really sensitive situation anyway. But in a very insensitive way, you know, it's just a total dick move.
Joe Biden is a hypocritical dumb fuck as well. And I'm sorry, it's just there's nothing that's going to fix any of this. And he's there's just nothing that's going to be changing here. So I don't know, like, what we're going to do at the current time to amend any of this. Everything is just far too divided to make it work.
But just quit inflaming it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, that's all. Like, you can have your AR-15s. Nobody's coming to take them away. Do I agree you should have them? I really don't think anybody needs one. But I can hardly come get your gun.
No.
You're right. You got a gun. Keep it. So, but there's people who are like, see that and go, you're right. Joe Biden's coming for my guns. He can't have them.
And he's not. I mean, I identify more with things on that side than any. But there's just so much fucked up shit going on right now where it's like, I'm sorry, everyone's kind of discredited at this point, no matter what. It's just like, what the fuck are we doing here? Let me ask you this. We go down a road that we're not even like scripted to go down here, but have you seen the Hunter video?
As in a Hunter Biden?
As in the Hunter Let's Get Some Crack and Horrors video.
Now, is that? No, I have not.
Okay, you
is
need
that
to.
Is it a recent video?
Yes,
or
it is.
Recently released?
And here's the deal, Carol. I've been in this bubble of like not watching any of this shit forever because it's just like a lot of the things that we consume don't ever tell us about these things. And then I started like looking, okay, I'm consuming my stuff, but I want to like eat the whole buffet. Like, what's on this aisle over here? Let's see what's going on. And I start like, what the fuck is this? And I started like, oh my God. And I don't have much of an opinion other than it's like, this is pretty fucked up. And then you hear some of the voicemails from Joe to Hunter. And it's like, well, that's kind of fucked up too. And it's like, well, maybe it was a little bit in the past or this or that. But it's like, there's some twisted fucking shit over there. I'm sorry. There is. And this is something.
Well, I'm going to look at that later. No, I had not seen it or heard of
it. He's weighing his crack on camera with a hooker. And
is it like, but is it a recently shot video?
I don't know how old it is.
Is when he had all the known drug problems.
I don't know.
That makes it better.
That doesn't really make it better. But there's also a voicemail out now, too, of Joe and him. And there's Joe kind of being dad. Like, I think you're in the clear. Kind of not being president, but being dad, you know, because you don't want your kids to go through shit. And it's just like, I don't care. He was at least VP at the time. And it's just like,
well, and I
holy
do think
shit.
That he is in Joe Biden losing his other son. And I think he was very close to Bo.
He lost the good one. The guy who like could have like really been awesome.
And I think Hunter Biden can't make a decision if it's sitting right.
I think Hunter's a
fuck up. In front of him. It's like, here's the good decision. Make it. And he's like,
how can I fuck up my life
around that?
And it's not like Trump wasn't any better with his kids. But no. But I'm sorry, like some of these kids do defeat publicly some of the shit Trump's kids did.
Yeah, even like I agree, like the Hunter Biden Ukraine stuff, like
there's
he was
too much questionable.
I'm like, why doesn't that appear to anybody to be a conflict of interest? I mean, you and I have worked in media, and the shit that we agree that we cannot do is kind of extensive.
It is. And I'm really trying to be super open
super
to all this.
Common.
Yeah.
And now you're the vice president's son, yeah, and you're like, hey, dad, you know, Ukraine asked me to be on this board, and what do you think? And Joe Biden would be like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Presents me in a really bad light. Looks like I'm having a conflict of interest. My son's making a bunch of money.
I know.
Like, it's just a bad idea. And I think Hunter Biden is really good at making really bad decisions.
And him putting him on a pedestal of like, my son's great. Like, no, he's not. He's really kind of a shady, shitty person. Like, and I liked Joe previous to Joe being president. I liked Joe 20 years ago. I liked Joe 10 years ago. I feel like I'm almost wondering. I had this conversation the other night with someone who is more so on the other side politically than I am. I'm more center, but this person is even more on the other side. And it was like, how much do you think like Biden's just kind of being used by his children at this point? Like, is he just kind of this puppet? He's not quite all there. Cause I liked Joe back when he was sharp. And even though he was sharp, he was still kind of like messy with his words, but he knew what the fuck he was saying. Now when he talks, it sounds like just this confused person who has no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Agreed. And I think that losing a son probably has made him more, Hunter gets away with more shit.
Sure. That's your only son. Yeah.
Wants to be,
yeah,
like, it'd be scary, you know, you lost one son. It's, yeah, like, I don't want to push away.
And Joe's been through some shit. I mean, his wife, yeah, and his daughters were killed in early. Oh, my God. I mean, this man really is not an evil human being. I do not think that in any way, shape or form. But I just feel like he's old. He's been through a lot of shit. And he has a child that survived that's really shady as fuck. And I wonder how much the shady as fuck son is influencing him in his old age. And I think we really should be looking more at Hunter Biden, because I think there's a lot of shady shit going on over there.
I think he's capable of all kinds of shady shit.
Yeah.
And I do think, side note, that you can't run for Congress if you are older than 65. Maybe, yeah, 68. And I do think, like, you can't, there should be some term limits. Like, the Dianne Feinsteins kind of need to go.
Wouldn't that be nice? Should,
like, why y'all keep voting somebody in? It's like,
all, okay, these people need to fucking go.
Like, from 16 years in the Senate, that, or,
yeah, I mean,
12
from,
years.
From Pelosi to Schumer to everything on the Republican side, too. I mean, it just all needs a giant fucking refresh.
Mitch McConnell. I think we need some younger.
I mean, how many times are we going to hear about fucking Nancy Pelosi's husband doing illegal shit? And it's all like, well, it's fine. It's like, no, it's not. It's not okay. This is some shady shit you're doing. Stop. And stop standing up for him, for the love of God. And then wanting respect from, like, decent human beings. I mean, I was a Democrat. I'm so independent now, but I think they're fucking shady as shit. Both, every side. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like I don't have a country anymore, or anybody representing me, I think is the accurate thing.
I'm not going to argue anything with you right now, because I'm like, I literally at this moment, I just threw my hands up in the air just because I get so frustrated with all.
Yeah,
of it.
I do too. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just, yeah.
Oh, no, no. Cause there's nothing to argue about. Cause it's like, I totally agree. I think
I just feel hopeless. I mean, it's a hopeless feeling is what it is. It's,
no,
it's,
I'm with you.
I think we both agree what we want. It's just, there's nothing there. And we're just seeing the destruction of so many things that we thought were.
I remember way back when, like, Ronald Reagan, I just hated him. And I was like, he's so conservative. And
no, it's like the good old days.
Now I'm like, God, bring back him. I'd take him.
Oh, shit.
I feel like the world was a more sane place. Well,
what's funny to me is everybody who, like, thinks, is like, oh, I'm so Reaganish. It's like, no, you're really kind of the opposite.
Well, if you're Reaganish, you're like way too.
You were liberal almost. I mean, you were almost liberal if you were Reaganish. And that's like, I'm like, I don't know how I identify myself. I try to say like I'm old school Democrat, but I'm also old school Republican. Like I'm old school, like more just middle of the road, old school.
And Trump people, really, that's like a cult. It's like having a freaking.
Yeah.
The NXIVM guy.
Well, it's just delusion. It just adds delusion on top of chaos. Like there's already chaos here we're trying to deal with. And then we add that and then we have delusion on top of chaos. And it's where do you go from there? And that's, yeah. Anyway, welcome to the program, everybody. We're here to decipher what's going to go on for the rest of our lives and how we're going to make things work. Woman awakens from a 2-year coma and identifies a brother as an alleged attacker. So this is interesting. This is almost kind of in the lines of those people who have the DNA test done, where their family has the DNA test done at Christmas. And everybody's like, oh, yay, you got that for us. Thank you so much. And everybody's excited. And there's the one person in the corner of the room going, oh, fuck.
It's like, really? Do not upload your DNA.
Like
do
that person, like that's my niece. That's my sister. That's my aunt. Like, oh, fuck. And I know my DNA is on that crime scene. And oh, fuck. It happens, and it's happening left and right. It's Christmas for a lot of people. A woman awakens from this is not that, but it's kind of like that. Identifies her brother as the alleged attacker. This is from after she got out of a coma. A West Virginia woman has woken up from a 2-year coma and identified her brother as the man who allegedly attacked her at her home in June of 2020. Prior to this development, per a report from a regional outlet called Metro News, the assumption has been that the case in question was going to be left unsolved. This month, however, local law enforcement were notified by someone at a regional long-term care facility that the woman, Wanda Palmer, had awakened. The keys to the whole thing lay with the victim herself. With her unable to communicate, we were left with nothing, Jackson County Sheriff's Ross Mellinger explained. Now, lo and behold, 2 years later, and boom, she's awake and able to tell us exactly what happened. Per a separate report from WCHS, Wanda was initially found by her neighbors with serious head injuries, with arriving law enforcement later adding that she had seemingly been hit over the head and in the face with an object that caused lacerations. Law enforcement has speculated that the object allegedly used by Peter Palmer, who has now been arrested after being identified as a suspect by his sister, was either a machete or a hatchet. In a recent news release shared to social media, the Jackson County Sheriff's Department said Daniel Palmer, 55, has been arrested and charged with attempted murder and malicious wounding in connection with the 2020 attack. According to police, Wanda has been attacked, hacked, and left for dead by her brother. Online jail records show Daniel Palmer as having been booked on July 15th with a listed bail amount of $500,000. Thoughts on that?
I can't believe she woke up.
Yeah.
Like 2 years. I don't know the odds of that happening if you're in a coma for that long. The odds of you ever waking up again, but I would guess.
That'd be so, I can't even imagine.
Your brother's like, yay, it's been 2 years she didn't wake up. And then she did.
Well, you gotta be thinking like, after like 1 year, you're like, fuck, I did it. I'm good. She's going to be a vegetable forever. And then, oh shit.
I find it so impressive. And I just think as the victim, I don't know what it's like to be in a coma. How would I? But I think like my feeling about it is that after 2 years, she had to really, really, really wanted it and to tell everybody who did it.
I wonder what it's like. I mean, is it like just going under for a surgery where
I don't know if she stayed alert and after that or anything. I don't know what happened after she said that.
I've never talked to anybody who's been in a coma for that long to say like, is it like you're just kind of out and you awake and suddenly it's 2 years later, or, you know, is it like a really long dream?
You know? I've read stories of people who said they could hear everything that was going on. They
really?
Couldn't communicate.
Oh, God. Yeah. That would be horrifying.
Horrific. So I don't know if she was like that. I don't know if she went on to, you know, be like, hey, I'm ready to bust out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know where she fell on that line, but oh, I'm really, I'm happy that she did it. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they were able to catch him because of her.
Mm-hmm.
If he can do that to his sister, he can do that to anybody.
Yeah.
No, without a doubt. It's just, it's scary what people are capable of doing, obviously, as we learn about every day on this program. A chilling final text. Killer dad Chris Watts sent to a mistress before butchering his family. Should we read about that a little bit?
Oh my God, this guy's so crazy.
It's in the Mirror. The mistress of a killer, Chris Watts, revealed the haunting final message that he sent her before he was finally caught. Nicole Kessinger was having an affair with Watts before he brutally strangled his pregnant wife, Shannon, and smothered the couple's two young girls, aged just 4 and 3, in August of 2018. A string of texts between the two were revealed to police in an interview as the net closed around Watts and was playing to the haunted victim of a lost husband and father at the time. Nicole told police she texted the secret partner, "If you did something bad, you're going to ruin your life. And if you did something bad, you're going to ruin my life. I promise you that." Hauntingly, Watts replied, "I didn't hurt my family, Nikki." The relationship was breaking down by the time Watts was arrested by police, and he sent a message to Nicole as he took the form of goodbye. The killer said, "Just don't forget the person that you knew me to be when you were with me." Watts is now serving life sentences as well as another 48 years in prison for his lone crimes without the possibility of parole. He managed to avoid the death penalty, later abolished by the state of Colorado by pleading guilty. As Watts played the victim, he told Live News about his missing wife and children. "Last night, I had every light in the house on. I was hoping that I would just get ran over by the kids running in the door and just like barrel rushing me. But it didn't happen. It was a traumatic night trying to be here. I mean, my kids are my life. Those smiles light up my life." Watts and Shannon's relationship was already unraveling by the time he killed her. Shannon told a friend, "He has changed. I don't know who he is. He hasn't touched me at all week, kissed me, talked to me, except for when I'm trying to figure out what is wrong." The bodies were found 2 months after the murders at an Anacortes petroleum site where Watts worked around 40 miles away. Shannon was buried in a shallow grave while daughters Bella and Cece were discovered dumped in crude oil storage drums. American Murder, The Family Next Door is a Netflix documentary that takes a deep dive into the events leading up to the stories if you want to take a deeper dive on that fucking asshole. My God. I don't know. I don't know how to respond to these things anymore.
And once again, you know, we've talked about these stories before, just divorce. Like, you're seeing somebody else.
Just get divorced. Yes.
You're seeing somebody else.
It's not that difficult.
That's a very difficult decision to have. It really is. But
it is, but it's not.
Like, you,
if you're at that point,
adorable children.
If you're that strong to this point, if you want to fucking kill somebody. But divorce should have been 50 steps earlier. I don't understand where you're going to kill before divorce. I mean, yeah, you may owe some money. You may do this or that. Or you know what? If you're not the person at fault, you won't fucking owe any money. They'll owe you money. But it's just don't be a dumbass about it. I don't get it. I don't fucking get it.
And that whole text about, remember what the real me was like.
Oh, it's a narcissistic insanity. All roads lead to narcissism is really the end of the day what we're talking about here. Everything's about these narcissistic ideas where here's my justification. Feel bad for me. I'm the victim. I mean, it's the same in so many cases where it's like, no, you're the perpetrator. And in some cases, society will jump onto it going, oh yeah, you are the victim too. Like, no, you're not. Not everybody's a victim. Some people are just perpetrators and they're trying to be victims. And
those types of people detach. I think like they even tell themselves like it was justified or they never really did it or whatever. But how do you live with yourself knowing that you killed them?
Oh, exactly.
Your children, like these innocent, sweet babies that you were at one point a pretty loving dad by all accounts. And then you turn around and do that to those kids. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you snap or maybe you're always like that. Oh, it's just sad.
I know.
So sad.
It totally is. It's just, I mean, there's no words for half of it because it just goes on to such dark places. But yeah, that's the world we live in, kids. Thank you for joining us for the program today and brightening up your life. Thank you for joining us on Reading Rainbow. We're Reading Rainbow. I think we need a little fun here. You were a bit old for Reading Rainbow, I think. You would have been like 20s. Yeah, you would have been 20s. I would have been like a younger human being. Reading Rainbow theme song. Sometimes you just need the Reading Rainbow theme song to feel better. This is remastered. I don't want remastered. I don't want the fucking remastered. I want the remastered. Is this it? Who is the host of Reading Rainbow?
LeVar
Burton. Yeah, because he still did some stuff, didn't he, after that?
Oh, like he was in the running to be the Jeopardy host.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got his own podcast.
Yeah, LeVar Burton.
He's very active and very well loved.
I remember watching an episode. Here's what I'm excited about. This is, there was an episode of Reading Rainbow where he was on one of the islands of Hawaii during a volcano eruption. And he was like, wait, it is a great shot. Just and maybe I'm on crack. Maybe this is 100% a moment. What's the called? The Mandela moment or Mandela effect. But I swear to God, there was an intro to Reading Rainbow where he was in front of a volcano that was erupting. And he was like talking about it and like really like, oh my God, what the hell is that? That's the first time I learned about like magma and volcanoes and all of that. So I'm excited to go see my first actual volcano here this week. So
I can't wait. Send me some pictures.
I'm going to sing the Reading Rainbow song while I'm there.
Okay.
Just so everyone knows. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Be sure to check out our Patreon page. Just search True Crime Today. And subscribe, get access to the advanced episodes, all of it commercial free. We greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to True Crime Today.
True Crime Today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our full episodes, breaking news updates, and daily briefs from True Crime Today.